As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places: Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from our own tradition. Carolina Quararick Graham was a formational leader in UU Allies for Racial Equity. A common issue in anti-racism work is the use of the term culture of white supremacy or white supremacy culture, which many people view as charged, controversial, or even deeply offensive. Sometimes there are even challenges, dismissals from people in positions of power or authority about it. For me, use of the term is a necessity for these reasons. Because it is used commonly by many prominent writers and speakers on the subject of race and privilege, and one cannot actively pursue this work without coming across it. Because it is very uncomfortable for me to read or write or say white supremacy culture on so many different levels, not the least of which has to do with sensitivities around my own national and cultural heritage. So it's my way of directly challenging my own right to comfort. Because when this term is used by someone from the dominant group, in this case white, it is a very different experience, generally less antagonizing and a bit more difficult to dismiss than when it comes from someone who's marginalized, in this case someone of color, and it is a way that I exercise my privilege toward laying groundwork for others' voices. And lastly, because I have been asked to use these words by people in oppressed communities, both directly and indirectly, because white supremacy culture most accurately and succinctly describes their harsh experience of systemic discrimination. It is one of the ways in which I express my allyship.
Thank you, Thomas. Friends, I have been filled this week with a Unitarian Universalism I didn't know existed. There was embodied worship, full of song and movement, deep, deep joy, intense learning that I haven't experienced since seminary. My head is still spinning. Beautiful hospitality. Truths shared in openness, keeping it real. This and other parts of what I experienced this week is what our faith claims to be, what in many ways it tries to be, but it has fallen so short for so many people who are not white, who are not male, not straight, not cisgender, not educated, not self-sufficient, and others. Black Lives of Unitarian Universalism, or BLUE, as you will hear me say, began 5 years ago when a small group of black people gathered together to try to find a way to stay in Unitarian Universalism. They needed a faith that affirms every part of them. A faith where one person said, "I can bring my whole loud, fat, queer self." A place they weren't finding in a lot of our white congregations. So many of the people I met told stories of microaggressions, stories of outright racism in congregations they tried to attend. They needed a place that was more than welcoming, a place, they used a phrase that I heard over and over again, that was made with them in mind. When they convened, I heard a story. The very first time they gathered at a General Assembly 5 years ago, one of the leaders, the current leaders in the group, told about walking into the room and seeing an elder sitting in a chair already waiting for them with her handbag on her lap, her shawl around her shoulders. And the folks walked in and she looked up, this elder, and said, is this where we all leave? And they said, no, this is where we figure out how to stay. So in that 5 years, Blue has created an organizational structure that includes an organizing collective board and an executive director, vision and mission statements, bylaws, an advisory team, a financial transparency group, something they call a 360 council that I would call a right relationship team, and a worship team. 5 years. And they've just gotten their 501c3 certification as a church. So they are a faith within a faith with us. They've created what they need, and every time they've met so far until this symposium, it has been within what they call Black sacred space, a space that is made up of only Black folks where they can show up fully as themselves. This symposium is the first time they have invited other people of color, indigenous people, and white people. So the Unitarian Universalism I experienced this week was free of the framework of white supremacy culture. There were multiple people on the stages at various times expressing their learnings, their beliefs, their feelings, and nobody argued. Nobody felt like they had to defend their statements. Nobody said, yeah, but, or, well, actually. People were genuinely curious and open and supportive and joyful. Allies for Racial Equity held a processing session for white folks at the end of the symposium, and one of them said, there was no need for conquest like there so often is in spaces where there are white people. We weren't rushed, yet everything was on time. And there was plenty of time to do all of the things. So some of the things I noticed to help create that space. The event was named after ancestors. Frances Ellen Watkins Harper was a Unitarian abolitionist, suffragist, and author, and the Reverend Joseph Jordan was the first Black ordained Universalist. This was the Harper Jordan Symposium. The event began with land acknowledgement and behavioral agreements. This is on whose land we stand. We here are on Ho-Chunk land. Behavioral agreements, this is how we will be with each other. There was an explanation of what space feels like to Black people when white people are there. And white people were asked to step back, to observe, to listen before speaking. I learned about a thing called progressive stacking. Does anyone know that term? One person. A week ago, it would have been just you. Progressive stacking is this idea where we intentionally set up our feedback system in a group gathering to hear from the marginalized voices first, and sometimes only. So their progressive stack, as far as I could figure it out, was first elders, then Black folks, other Black folks, then other people of color and indigenous people, then white women, than white men, from what I could see. I did not see any white people called on for feedback, and that felt completely okay. Every day started with worship and singing and movement and invitation, and when we worshiped formally on Saturday, we worshiped till we were done. And it was not an hour. The space around us was filled with huge posters of ancestors, Black Unitarians and Universalists, and Unitarian Universalists whose stories many of us don't know, and stories about them. There were people that took visual notes on poster board, on giant poster board for every plenary session, so that there was content that was presented visually afterwards, these big circles and arrows and words and representations of people and names and ideas and how they flowed and intertwined. Sessions were an hour and a half to 2 hours long, and presenters only spoke for half of their allotted time. So there was so much room for questions. And when it was time to go on a break, it was time to go on a break. And that was all monitored. Questions were always questions. There was never this, well, this isn't really a question, but I can't help myself from saying it. When people made mistakes, they just corrected them. Explicit consent and intention underlying every element and how it wove together. So someone actually stood up with someone else and said, let's show what consent looks like. Thomas, can I give you a hug? Sure, that's consent. Yeah. What does consent not look? What is consent? What is non-consent? Sorry, I didn't prep him for this. Non-consent looks like Thomas saying to me, can I give you a hug? And me not going, okay, but going, no, thank you, I don't feel like that right now. And being heard. There was planning, superb planning, so that everything went as it needed to from the participants' point of view, at least. I'm sure there were hiccups. But there was also flexibility. One of the folks on the Black Lives Organizing Collective, their board of directors, has a little child who constantly came running up on the stage. Constantly. And every single time. Every single time. Hi, honey. Do you want to stay here? Can I pick you up? Okay, go find your mom. Or okay, here, but don't talk in the microphone. We took time for that. And people expressed themselves in all of the possible ways, both what they said and how they said it. In one session on how we practice spirituality, one of the ministers talked about sex as spiritual practice. Because it is. F-bombs flying everywhere. Because sometimes that's the only way to say something real, right? So there were six, that was how it felt, and the things I saw. There were six plenary sessions over the course of 2 days, and I'm going to offer just descriptions and a couple of my takeaways. Each of these is a sermon series, not just a sermon. First section was on Black UU contextual history. It was full of stories of Black people who have been part of the creation and practice of Unitarianism, Universalism, Unitarian Universalism, and other liberal religious traditions. Black people have been part of the formation and the current shape of liberal religion all along, and many of us don't ever hear those stories. An example is that there is a thread of African American secularism that can be traced back all the way to slavery as the hypocritical actions of Christian slave masters created an inability to reconcile the problem of evil for Black folk. I don't believe in that God, right? Second session, Black UU individual histories, focused on three current Black church planters. UU church planters? Talking about how their faith traditions moved them to try something different. And when the first question they were asked was, what led you to UUism? You know, we tend to think of this tradition as one people come into from other faith traditions. Doubly, triply, quadruply more so when a person of color walks in our door. Right? The assumption is you're not from here. Two of the panelists, that was true. They were gay in the 1970s and 1980s and founded churches. And one said, well, I was born here. right? They talked about this idea that I have already mentioned, creating a space with us in mind. When you plant a church specifically for a set of people, you're creating a space for those people in mind. A fabulous quote, a woman said, "We like the principles and the values," said, "of Unitarian Universalism," after going to several white, majority white congregations. Most of us are majority white. We have diversity we don't know about often. But a lot of us, our congregations are majority white. She walked into several of these churches, learned about our theology, learned about our principles and values, said, "I like those principles and values, but what you gonna do? What are you gonna do?" And they talked about how it means something when our kids see you leaders who aren't white. There's a lot there. The meatiest, juiciest conversation for me was the one on UU systematic theology. Systematic theology formulates an orderly and rational and coherent account of the doctrines of a faith. Or in our case, the thread that moves through our faith to make us who we are, right? We don't have doctrines. So Reverend Kimberly Hampton started with, what does it mean to do a black systematic UU theology in a world that cuts black lives short? Or where is God in that, right? And she used universalism as the grounding theology for a black UU theology. So she starts by asking, what is the ultimate, right? That's the beginning of theology. What's God? What is the universe? What is the ultimate? And she referenced principle number 2 of the 7 principles of black lives of Unitarian Universalism. Google it. Love and self-love must be the drivers of our work and indicators of our success. And so she said, love embodies itself through us, and black bodies, she said, are the embodiment of love. In a society where children are put in cages and police violence is done and excused, we are veiling off manifestations of that love. The primary way that love moves through the world is through humility, she says, not humiliation. Knowing that we don't know everything, we have to move gently and ask questions and listen. Knowing mistakes can happen and be repaired, and knowing reconciliation is a process. Those are all ways that love moves through the world. And then she asks, how does love save, right? Because that's part of theology too. What is ultimate? And then what is saving about that for us humans? And she said, in terms of love, eros is passion, right? Love, the drive toward life and things that are life-giving, is experienced through eros and passion. And she also said that love casts out fear and connects us to our deepest longings to know and to be known. And then, of course, well, if love saves us, what does it save us from? She says, anything that denies the fullness, the richness of love and of life. Isms, phobias. And how do we gather and worship if love is ultimate? She says, well, we have to gather, right? There's a power in the assembly that's not accessible when we free range, is the term she used. Something happens when we meet each other's eyes, a shared theology in shared worship experience. Unitarian Universalist churches are autonomous in our polity. We make our own decisions, church by church. I talk about this a lot. And autonomy comes with obligations. We check in with each other. we express the entire range of human emotion in worship, in a black theology, and we affirm all life and life more abundant. That's just skimming the surface. The next session was on sources of what they called Unitarian Universalism Plus. They had a panel of six black UUs who talked a little bit about how they're living their faith. There was a wide range of faith backgrounds, one born in to the faith UU, a Muslim, a Christian, a witch, an atheist, one who said, I wouldn't be UU without blue, without black sacred space and what we are making here. They talked about how spirituality and justice are intertwined. It's not these are the folks doing the worship and these are the folks leading us in justice. It's justice and worship, who we are and what we do and how we make meaning of it is all intertwined. They talked about being fully black and fully UU. Somebody said, well, what do you mean by that? What is fully? And they said, being allowed to be part of this tradition without being asked to leave part of myself or make myself smaller. They said, our faith should be joy-filled. They said, being confronted with being undesirable, with being asked to be made smaller, is a disruption of joy. And they get enough of that in their lives. The next session, together and separate, leaders in other faith traditions that are doing similar work. We are not alone in this, learning how to be a different kind of community. There are several folks, well, there were several folks represented that were Lutheran and Quaker and UCC and I didn't write it down. Something else. Black ministers, black lay leaders trying to make a space for themselves as black people in predominantly white traditions. Many similar stories. The most important thing they all lifted up is keeping it real. Keeping it real. And they said very explicitly to the white folks in the room, unless you have the people you're inviting in the beginning, and the middle and the end of the process, you're missing the boat. And then finally, something they called Proclaiming a Black UU Theology. This was lessons and reflections from the organizing collective board. They are making a space where white supremacy culture and colonialism cannot thrive. That is their goal, and that is their work. They are not just decentering whiteness, because if you decenter whiteness, one of them said, you're still talking about whiteness. They're centering blackness. How are black people doing Unitarian Universalism? And they answered that question. Five different people talked about a revival that happened last year. He talked about watching black folks go from station to station. There was a station where you could bless each other with water. There was a station you could be anointed with oil. Station you could pray together. One of them, Paige, has never experienced UUism outside of Black Lives of UU. Takiya talked about small groups meeting across the country, virtual church, right? Video church. And connecting to each other live and in person when they can. Kimberly talked about trying to make spaces for people to be their authentic selves. And Samuel talked about contextual agreements about intention and theology as the background for the work. So here are the things I'm sitting with now. I got back yesterday at 9:30 at night. After morning worship, that was not an hour, and 3.5 hours of sitting with white folks, 25 or so of us, after the symposium, in a session that I helped to create and lead as an Allies for Racial Equity leadership collective person. So this is things I'm sitting with that I have just barely begun to process. And these are all words I've heard before, and I'm hearing them in such a different way. Relationship. Every presenter, every session, they talked about the thing we know, right? Relationship is first. We build everything else out of relationship, out of who we are together. And in a faith setting, that has a theological context. I'm going to preach on that sometime. We've been here all along. I heard that time after time through our history today. We have been here all along. We've all heard this one. None of us are free until all of us are free. I am not released from the bonds of being a person who contributes to marginalization until the marginalized are no longer marginalized. Being embodied and intuitive are not anti-intellectual. Nobody's ever said that to me out loud. That's so freeing for me because of how I am. I am not anti-intellectual. I've never thought about it myself that way. But when I do worship, when I do relationship, I want to be embodied and intuitive. I remember on Search, somebody said to me, I don't remember what they said exactly, but it was about the UU lecture as sermon. They said, you don't do that, do you? And I said, well, I don't think so. I do smart. That's what I remember saying. I do smart, but I also do heart. Learning to lead with learning to lead with curiosity as a white person. I heard that a lot. I felt it a lot. I got to do it a lot. I knew I wasn't going to be asked to speak. So I could just sit back, listen. Learning to create spaces with all kinds of people in mind. We are so welcoming here, and I love that. And I think it's time to think about that next level. I don't know what that means yet, but the folks who are working in Beloved Conversations are going to talk about it, I know. And then finally, and not finally, I have a huge list, but the final thing I'm going to say is, what do we mean when we say we? I do it all the time, right? We Unitarian Universalists, we people, we, you know, what do we mean when we say we? We've been here all along. So I want to invite you to think a little bit about what you are looking for if you are a come-inner, if you are not a lifelong Unitarian Universalist, or even if you are, what are you looking for now, or what were you looking for when you found this faith? And how you found it. Because you're here, I'm assuming you found it or are finding it. I'm grateful that our black siblings are making a way for themselves and for other people of color and for indigenous people to find the same things. And while they're doing it, and this is, while they're doing it, they're changing our shared faith for the better. They're opening it up, they're broadening it in the tradition of all of our historical leaders and our heretics. Discomfort and adjustment and controversy surrounded all of those people in our history as well. I have talked about how we're a living tradition, how we change in response to things. We are in one of those places now. And Blue is creating processes and structures that will make the rest of Unitarian Universalism a deeper and broader thing. I learned a song that I'm going to end with. I'll invite you to join me. I learned a song from Dr. Glenn Thomas Rideout. Glenn Thomas is the music director for the Ann Arbor UU congregation. He is a Black, classically trained and educated musician. He's taught me a bunch of songs. Not just me. He's taught us a bunch of songs. I don't think he even knows who I am. And that's just fine. This is a song written by R&B artist in the 70s named Joe Simon. And it's much longer. But Glenn Thomas brings it into worship. There's a river somewhere that flows through the lives of everyone. And it flows through the mountains and the valleys and the meadows of time. Try that with me. There's a river that flows through the... Whoops. See, I knew that I was going to do that. There's a river somewhere that flows through the lives of everyone. And it flows through the mountains and the valleys and the meadows of time. Oh, yes, it do. Oh, I can't do that part. Never mind, we're going to skip that. We'll do this one more time. There's a river somewhere that flows through the lives of everyone. And it flows through the mountains and the valleys and the meadows of time. You're going to hear that again in a little bit. Maybe so. May we be so.